Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we talk about how to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. And now, here's your host, Stephen Libman, managing partner of Integrity Holdings Group.
Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. I have good friend, good mentor, Bill Allen with us today. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things, Free From Wall Street, how to get there, how to get successful. Bill has been in my life for a couple of years. I wrote my first Forbes article that ever got published about him. So we appreciate you jumping on, taking the time, man. Thanks.
Absolutely, Stephen. Thanks for being here. I remember our first interaction when you guys came into the mastermind was me loaning you guys money without having ever met you. So I think it'd be an interesting conversation today. So.
Yeah, I think I knew you for about 20 minutes and we were hitting you up for money and you were happy to float it for us. And that really rocketed our business from, you know, I think the first, that year we did 16 deals, the next year we did over 100. So it helped. And
yeah,
you got paid back.
I did. I got paid back quick and a great interest rate. It was a good deal. When I found out how much you guys made, I was shocked. And it's interesting, isn't it? Like your deal is really good until you see what the other guy makes. And then you're like, maybe my deal wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Yeah.
It was
I could probably charge more.
Yeah. And so it's all perspective, right? And I think that's a lot of what you guys talk about here. It's the perspective of people and their money. So
yeah, 100%. So we met in 2016, I think, at the end of 2016. And since then, we've both grown multiple businesses into multiple different verticals. But, you know, you run the seven-figure flipping mastermind, which is where we met. And what I love about the mastermind in general is getting around like-minded people, talking about some things that you would never really thought about on your own. And I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we feel like we're on an island and nobody else is going through the same struggles that we are. And maybe they're not having the same successes. And the first 6 months in that mastermind, it really helped me so much to recognize that the imposter syndrome was a real thing, that the struggles that we were going through, everybody else was going through as well. And the value that we got, forget about the cost, the value that we got back made us a $1 million business in 12 months. It really gave us a bunch of shortcuts and really showed us what to do and what not to do, which I think is probably more valuable than even what to do. And, you know, when the first time we spoke about this, I was just kind of thanking you and you kind of chuckled and you said, look, I can give you some tools, but I can't make you go out and do it. And the action items that we took away from those things, the accountability was, hey, next quarter, you're coming back and you're going to do what number of things before you come back. So tell us a little bit about where you came from. You know, we were Navy pilot, clearly, is where you started your business in the air, basically. So tell us a little bit about that story and how you intended to kind of create some financial freedom in your life and what the generation, what that looked like.
Yeah. So I was, I've grown up saving money my whole life, like always trying to hustle and turn a dollar into $2. I'd look at, like, I don't know, I was a closet entrepreneur for a long time, didn't know it until this real estate business, I feel like. But I invested in index funds pretty much my whole life. My dad, like, kind of forced me to open a Roth IRA when I was a kid. And the first time I got W-2 income, and he was interesting. He would push me to invest because he would match what I put in. So if I put in, you know, $1,000, he'd match $1,000 and put it in there for me, which was great. Obviously, I could only invest as much as I made in my W-2 salary when I was a kid. So it was started with, like, I don't know, I was like raking sand traps at the golf course. And then it was, you know, moved up to some office work. And then I was selling stuff door to door, canvassing and selling roofs and windows and siding and stuff like that in college. And so I've always been this stock investor and sold that stuff. So fitting that we talk about like freedom from Wall Street, right? So I joined the Navy and I always wanted this financial independence for myself. I didn't want to work my whole life. I kind of wanted to work as I always said, like, I want to do what I do because I want to do it, not because I have to do it. And that went for flying too. You know, I became a pilot and flew helicopters and airplanes. And I said, I just want to keep flying. Like, this is what I really love to do. So anytime I had to transfer to another job, I was just trying to avoid a desk or avoid the other things. And then I said, I'll just keep flying until I don't love it anymore. And this is my 18th year right now, and I still get to fly for the Navy part-time. So same thing with the real estate business, same thing with everything. And I wanted to retire when I was in my early 40s, or at least have the option to do that. I just wanted to be a millionaire. That's like the big thing, right?
Yeah.
So I would watch, I always watch my finances and my net worth. I had a net worth sheet that I would update like monthly before. I did about quarterly now, but it was monthly then. And I would really look and see what was changing. And when I was investing in index funds and stocks, I just noticed that not a lot was changing. My income wasn't moving much. It was slowly going up or going down, depending. It was all just not dependent on me, which I didn't really like that much. So that's when I got into real estate. I read some books, listened to podcasts like this, and started realizing that there's an opportunity there. I had a couple rental properties, so I started seeing that cash flow was starting to happen. Like, it wasn't when I had one or two properties, it was when I had like five. And then I really saw that my like dispensable income, this like extra, I would always see how much can I save each month. And I got to like 55 or 60% of my salary. There's only so much expense cutting that you can have. So then I saw all this extra money coming in, and I'm a huge saver. So it was just increasing my net worth faster. And I said, well, let me check out this real estate thing. And that's kind of when I made the transition from like into real estate. And so I did that part-time. I was flipping one house a year. It was making like $40,000 to $45,000 per flip. I'd pick like a really good one and do it on the side. And then even when I was active duty flying, I jumped in full time and started, you know, building a company around myself. I joined the same mastermind that Steven did, and that really kind of blew up my business. It changed just the way that I think. And you talk about isolation. You think even when you're in groups like this, you can still have a tendency to feel isolated when you're not together. And it's about being engaged. Like you said, you have to actually do something with it. So I went from doing one deal a year to 70 the first year, and then 135 the next year, 187 the year after that. And then the past 2 years after that, we've consistently done somewhere around 160 to 170 deals or so. We'll probably end up around the same place this year. And it's a couple $1 million in profit, like gross profit before all my expenses and salary and everything like that. So consistently doing that year over year over year with a staff and a team now. So that's kind of what it looks like for me. And I don't really have a lot of money in the stock market anymore.
So that's what I was going to go back to, is I love the fact that you were able to really take a realistic, logical approach and say, well, I have this over here and I have this over here. And what is adding to my personal financial statement at a greater rate? And that's more controllable for me. I keep saying this. Like, if the president, regardless of where you stand on his politics, if he can send a tweet and tank the market or make the market go up, that's not where I want my retirement, right? Like, if anybody has that much control over what the market does, then I don't think you can bank on your retirement that way. And I mean, tens of trillions of dollars sit in the stock market with people who do that. So what I love about this show is we get to talk to people that usually started in a full-time W-2 job before they left for one reason or another. And it's tangible. Like, this isn't hyperbole. We're not speaking in riddles. What we're telling people is that this is measurable. This is something that you can look at and say, well, now I have my hand on it and I can actually control kind of where it goes, versus kind of sitting back and hoping. I keep saying hope isn't a strategy. I'm in a couple of these Facebook groups with retirement people, and they keep talking about just don't look at it. Don't look at your stock market. Don't look at your mutual funds. And it's shocking to me that that really is what we're teaching people, is to just look away and hope that it comes back. And
I think, you know, the interesting thing for me is obviously there's a bunch of money that gets pumped into promoting stock market, Wall Street, things like that. So, and I've been an investor. Like, I was in these forums all the time. John Bogle is the creator of Vanguard. So I'm a huge Vanguard fan for index funds because their expense ratios are the lowest out there. They're also member owned. And so the biggest thing for me, so my kids, I don't have a ton of money for my kids right now. They're set up, like, they're potentially me putting money in the stock market for them until I move them over to real estate or show them how to do that. But what I find a lot of times is we really think that there's not a passive outlet elsewhere. And somewhere else. And what I realized is I want to invest in myself. So that first $25,000, you said, like, okay, forget about the cost. But the cost is always something. Like, we've been, our mindset has changed significantly by paying that money, joining groups like this, and seeing what happens and the returns that we've reaped those returns, right? Yeah. And in the very beginning, it's like, what is the cost? Everything seems like a cost. For me, everything now is an investment. And it usually has been, but you can go back to traditional education and have the same conversation, because I have no problem getting, I have a mechanical engineering undergraduate degree. I have an aeronautical engineering master's degree. I went to test pilot school, which cost the government over $1 million. It would cost them £1 million because I went over in the UK. So it's like at the time it was $1.62 million for the US to send me there. And I used that for about 2 years and then I went to another job. But I never would think twice about like those kind of investments just because of how we've been brought up and how things happen. And then the self-education side of things is a huge industry, but it doesn't seem to get the same like recognition because not so much push has come on into that. So what I feel like is a lot of times you just have to start thinking for yourself. And I love to invest in myself. So when I look back at my journey, that first $25,000 that I spent was a challenge because I had a library card and I wouldn't even buy a book. I was so cheap. I'm a super cheap guy. I still am.
I know we talk about the struggles that we go through, right? Of like where we came from and kind of like, is it okay to spend this money? And you kind of have to check yourself, right?
All the time. And, you know, I also want my kids to be, you know, brought up where they're not spoiled and brats and things like that too. So a lot of that, like for me, I'm a pilot and we have a small family airplane and we actually fly to Disney World to go to Disney World in our own airplane. And then we get into like an Uber that drives us to the hotel. So my son could be like, you fly on a commercial airliner? What are you talking about? I just drive up. I've never even been through security. I just go up, put my bags in and go. And so I think it's just the, you know, thinking about investing in yourself and actually be in control or be in control of the choices that you make, like the people that you invest in. I'm sure we'll get there, but I invest in other syndications too. Like my whole, everything that I do, all my active income is getting sucked out of my active income business and being put into a passive outlet and vehicle for me too. So like I say that I do a couple hundred houses a year, but that's an active vehicle for me. That thing can ebb and flow and crank up and shut down and kind of do more business or less business over time. And I might have to be involved. I might have to put my time, like trade time for money. And then there's other areas where I can just let money turn into more money. And that's my whole concept is to like take it and move it over. But overall, like moving from the like stock market over to real estate is for me, it was something that I was learning. I was investing in myself. It was a skill that I learned. But what I also talk to other people about is like, let me do the work. Let me be the active investor that I can be the vehicle that can help you. You know me, you like me, you trust me. If you think that I have the integrity and all the things that you need to invest with, then like believe in me and bet on me. So I'm Bill. You can meet Bill. I'm like, I can't meet all the people that run Apple. I can't control them. I can't control Disney. Seem like great bets. But even I went back to this mindset when we saw a stock market drop of like 30%. Even I had the consideration to take my money and go, oh, it's on sale. I'm going to put it over there. And I said, you know how I used to feel when it was doing that? Like, how do I feel right now? It's down. So it seems exciting because I think it might go up. Right. But like, I don't have any control of it. And I already know that I can make more than that in what I do. It's not exciting for me. If it goes up 20%, if I put $100,000, let's say I put $1 million over there and I make $200,000, it's like I can do more than that in what I do and I can help other people come along with me. So anyway, exactly. So there's a lot of different things and obviously I threw a lot out there, but for me, it was almost like liberating myself and breaking free of that. Like the name of the podcast is fantastic, right? Just break. It's more of like freeing yourself from the trance that we're in a lot of times to think that that's the only opportunity. And it might be the opportunity for some, but for me, it wasn't. And what I saw my net worth sheet and my, you called it a personal financial statement. What I saw was it just started exploding when I was able to take it out of there, not pay all the fees, the management costs, the ups and downs, the, like you said, the taxes, there's a lot of tax benefits in real estate. All that stuff made me see financial freedom like years earlier than I was projected to by a typical investment planner. And I don't necessarily want to get started on those guys either.
Yeah. So we have a lot of military guys that have been on the podcast, mostly referrals from you. And we always talk about the TSP rollovers, right? When they when they go from active duty to retired and they can take their TSP, which is great because you don't have a lot of options when it's in the TSP. But once you can roll it over and self-direct those, then you can kind of do what you're talking about, which is kind of choose where you want to go. And, you know, maybe it's the rebel in me that I just don't like to be told what to do. But I also don't like to be told where I can and can't put my money. And I think before 2008, the Jobs Act really made real estate accessible for the regular investor, right? Where they could go into these syndications and things like that. And before that, it was kind of, you didn't have an option, right? It was go to school, get a good job and invest in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and ETFs. And bringing it full circle back to the mastermind is, we were flipping houses for 5 years before we joined this mastermind. We never broke, you know, 250 grand. And then we did the mastermind and we broke a million in the first year. And it wasn't because we got infinitely smarter in the first year, right? I mean, we were doing this business for a while. What we learned was different systems and different processes and different ways to even invest your capital. Like, where are you putting your capital in your business? And then where are you putting that capital in your lifestyle? So for me, you know, we learned about the infinite banking concept, right? We learned about the fact that you can not put your money in a self-directed IRA or 401k and invest it back into your business, but there's ways to get around that. There's ways to do backdoor Roths, right? Which you taught me. And there's just a lot of financial education that we weren't, I went to Boston University, right? You went to good schools. I wasn't taught any of this stuff, right? Until I was 29, 30, when I started self-educating and going, oh, there's other things out there that I can self-educate on. And then, yeah, of course, betting on myself. I mean, when you're in a mutual fund, let's say you're in 100 different companies, you don't know the manager of that fund. You don't know the people that are running that company. And to your point before, giving people the opportunity to invest back into people that they know, like, and trust, or betting on themselves, it just gives you that freedom. Even if it's a little, like, I think all of us, when we went from our full-time job to entrepreneur, took a massive pay cut to bet on ourselves. And it probably took a couple of years but there's no ceiling either. So now we get to benefit from betting on ourselves and investing back in ourselves and making sure that we're around like-minded people that can teach us how to grow and how to continue on that trajectory.
We leave a job that is a 40-hour week job that pays us pretty well to go work 80 hours for less money, something like that. Entrepreneurs, like, that's how I felt in the beginning, for sure. I had to tell my wife, hey, I'm going to be putting in extra time, but we're going to see the fruits of this labor down the road. And it surprisingly didn't take, everybody's different with timing and speed and stuff like that, but I was able to get running pretty fast. And it was amazing to see that. You mentioned the TSP. So that's the thrift savings plan for anybody that doesn't know. And I had been investing in my TSP my whole career. And so when I went from active duty to reserves, right around year 15, so I've been investing in this thing for 15 years, and I didn't always max it out. I should have, but I wasn't maxing it out. In fact, when I flipped my first house, I took a TSP loan. So I was able to take $50,000 loan to myself. And I used that to invest in my first flip for the rehab costs of it. And I raised the money for the rest of it. And then when you have to put it back in. And so they'll take money from your salary on a regular basis. What I love about some more like self-directed 401k loans and the infinite banking concept is you can pay back on your schedule pretty much. Some of the 401k loans, you'll have a schedule, but if you are the administrator, you can potentially write your schedule. So now, I also had a limit, right? So the TSP has a limit of 18,000. So now if my solo 401k that I use, and right now I have a Safe Harbor 401k that I use, but it's self-directed into real estate, and I just can't use it inside of my personal business or up and down, basically. So parents, kids, things like that, spouse, and invest in any of their businesses, but I can invest in other businesses. I can invest in like your syndication. I've put some money in some of these different deals. And so I'm also able to put in this year $57,000 with a company match. So 19,000, which is the limit for everybody's 401k. And then another, $38,000 as a company match, which I do. And then it's tax deductible as a conventional portion. And so I'm able to, that's really what helped me with my net worth, was start dumping money in here and then go put it in syndications, put it in other places and let it make passive money for the future. And so, and invest in the people that I know, like, and trust, like you guys. So it's been really powerful for me. And you mentioned, like, mutual funds, you could read 150 prospectuses or 200 of them, but it's just not realistic, right? And a lot of times what you're doing is you're just average, you're just following the market. It's an index. Sometimes it beats the market, sometimes it doesn't. There's also a bunch of management fees and expense ratios and things like that that come out. So you're never really comparing apples to apples, which I think is important. And the TSP has, hands down, if you're a military person, it's great. It's got the lowest expense ratio anywhere out there, like 0.027%, which is unbelievable.
Did you go back and look at the 16 years that your TSP was being invested in and kind of average out what percentages you were making?
Yeah, it wasn't, it's not great. Like I would say I was probably around 5 or 6%, but here's the deal. Like anytime you get a quarterly statement, it'll say like in good times, it'll say like you made 10 or 12 or 14%. And what that does is it just gives you a false sense of security of what your whole lifetime, it's a this recency effect, right? Like when you just lost 20% in the stock market, you feel like you're a loser. Like you've lost a ton, right? And then when you've gained 12, you feel like everything you do is great. Like this, yeah. Even though it was like one quarter, but the whole right. year average, I was always be shocked. And honestly, like even in real estate, I would be shocked at my rental properties too. Like when I really ran the numbers on my single family rental properties, I was only making like 8% return. But it looked like there was a cash flow was there, but then there would be this one big thing, like a big air conditioning unit or roof that I have to replace. And right. it would eat up a lot of what I made for that year just in one cut. So it's interesting to see all that when you really break it down to track it over time and pay attention to it. Because if I ran the average over those 16 years and I really did the math of like all, it's nearly impossible to do every single dollar that goes in when you're putting money in on a regular basis. And you know, some months it's up, some months it's down, to really see it over time. And if I had invested it, if I just put it in a pure calculator on just a fixed rate, like I love my investors on a fixed interest rate, they can actually see what their return is and when it's yeah. compounding and things, and it's very cut and dry. And so there's a lot lost in the noise. And I think a lot of that is the confusion that comes up. It's very difficult and challenging to run your numbers. There's a lot of hidden fees. Like you might even not know what an expense ratio is. You know, that's the fee that they just charge inside the fund, not even the one. I had like $50,000 when I was younger and I gave it to an actively managed fund and they charge 2% to manage the money. If you just take, I mean, that's insane amount on top of the expense ratios and then on top of the taxes, the short-term capital gains that I was paying at a full tax rate of my tax, not my tax rate of, at that time, fortunately, it was 15%. But right. they're constantly buying and selling stocks all the time. So when I got my tax return, I have to do my tax return. All those were short-term capital gains that I was making, and it just didn't make sense. So it's just totally different thinking now. I'll tell you, my net worth went from, I didn't even think I was going to become a millionaire until I was like 40, just doing what I was doing before. And I've been able now to just really watch the thing go up and up and almost exponential year after year now, by being smarter and actually like taking control of my money and where I put it.
Yeah. And when we talk about the expense ratios and assets under management, I always go back to, and you said we're not going to touch on it, but I have to, is these people that go to these advisors, right? And they're getting advice, but they're not getting advice from investors. They're getting advice from salespeople. I mean, Warren Buffett says the only place in the world where people would drive a Rolls Royce to talk to people that took the subway into work. And yeah. it's not to dog those guys. I mean, there are honorable people in that profession for sure, but they don't have any skin in the game. They only make money on assets under management. So the more money that they have in control, that's how they make their fees and that's how they make their paychecks. So when it goes down, they're not linked to it, right? When our deals go down, we're linked to it, right? Our investors are always in a preferred position. They're always getting paid before we eat. And that's, you know, for me, that's aligning of interests, because I'm taking care of their money, you're taking care of your investors' money, and assuming you can turn that money into a lot more, good on you, right? Their fixed interest rate, they know that they can count on for now until you give them their money back and they get to retire. That's real freedom, right? I mean, that's really, I did a great YouTube video with my daughter, Cadence, called Millionaire Kids. And we just sat down with a compound interest calculator like you did. And every 5 years, right, the average length of a hold time for one of our deals, we took $13,000 from her 529 plan. We took it out and, you know, we paid the penalty and we put it into a self-storage facility. And then now what we're doing is we're taking $100 for every week for every kid. So $300 a week now goes into a separate account for all my kids. And at the end of the year, each one of them will have $5,200, pull that together and then make another investment. And we only compounded it once. So in 5 years, she'll have another 26 grand to add to that 13, and she'll be a millionaire by the time she's 37. Like that's, we can calculate on that by what we're paying our investors and how long it's going to take and all that stuff. And like, for me, I thought that that's how people plan for retirement, but that's just not the case, right? They sit with these advisors and they say, potentially, this is where you'll be.
There's a couple of things that you mentioned that, so first of all, I watched the YouTube video and it's amazing. So if you haven't seen it, this is that Millionaire Kids video. You absolutely have to watch it. It's so awesome. Your daughter does a great job in it too. You talked about losing money, and I use an example all the time. It's just a single family house that we flipped. It was a more expensive house. It was on Beach Hunters. It was on HGTV. Everything on the surface looked awesome. We ended up losing a lot of money on the house. We lost $70,000 as a company on that house, but my investors made 40,000 of that 70 that we lost. 40,000 went out to the lenders, the first position and second position lenders on that property. So they got paid. They had no idea until I shared this at one of our events last year, and they didn't know that we lost money because they shouldn't know. We took the hit, we lost money. So when's the last time that the stock market went down that you didn't pay your money? Like, it's that the person who is managing that, or the person who gets paid their W-2 income from that company, decided not to make money and actually lose your money and their money. So that's really what happened. I could have called them up and I could have said, hey, we lost money on this deal. Can we just not pay you the interest and just get your principal back? But in our case, in the stock market, we're not even getting our principal back. You know, it's not even like we're getting nothing back. We have no security. We have nothing. If the company goes under, it's completely gone. Now, you know, it's interesting because I love Disney. Like, I absolutely love Disney World. I love everything Disney. My family does. My kids do. Probably everybody listening to this right now during this time is watching Disney Plus. My wife and I.
In the other room right now.
Oh, Frozen 2 is going on in my house right now. Constant. I guarantee it. I think they watched it like 3 times yesterday. And last night, the past few nights, my wife and I have sat down and we're kind of going through. We love the Avengers series and sequence. So we're going through and watching them in order of not when they came out, but the years that they started. So okay. Going through and watching it that way. So you can see it all the way through. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I will watch that in the evening and relax with my wife. And so I love Disney, but I have no idea the longevity of that company and what's going to happen. They just changed CEOs. This coronavirus thing is happening. I have no idea. I'd like to say that, like, when they went down under 50, I would like to say I should have bought a ton of it, you know, but I'm just not sure. Like, I really don't know 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now. It doesn't seem smart for me to put all my eggs in that basket, because I don't understand the economics of that company. It's huge. There's things that can change. If this can adjust it, what else can hurt it down the road? So right. It just doesn't make sense to me. So that's the biggest thing for me, is even the big blue chips. If you look back 30 years, or even let's use 40 years, when I was a child, when I was just growing up, my parents bought me some stocks and some blue chip stocks at the time, right? Some of those companies are out of business. Like Woolworth and Kmart and some of these companies that it's just, yeah. As we just make changes and adjust, like GM
Toys R Us and Kmart would be gone.
We wouldn't, but you know, then Walmart comes in and Amazon comes in and these people start coming in, we adapt and we change and we make adjustments. So, it's just an interesting kind of sequence and flow. I look at a stock that I had a really good friend in test pilot school who also worked for another company. He owned a company. It was a company that flies drones, and they were being bought out by a French company that had this huge drone company, lots of different technology and software, and their stock was skyrocketing. I checked back on it because it saved it, and I don't look at the stock market ever anymore. I just have no reason to. And so what I saw was, I looked back on it, and it was like $80 a share then, and he was saying it was going to go to 120, 150. It's a really great company. They bought his company out, and it's down at like $1 right now. So, what would have happened if I bought it even at 60 or 50 or 80 and thought that, hey, you know, something's going to, there was a period where it did go up, but then it just went down like 80%.
Yeah,
like
oil overnight. Prices went negative this week.
I saw that.
Oil prices went negative. The stock market is up today. Today is the 23rd of April, and the market's about to close out in about an hour. And the market's up. The whole world is laid off, and the market's up. So, you know, in terms of just feeling safe and secure, it's, you know, for me, it's, and I'm sure for you, it's the same thing. It's not about retirement and rich. And what it really is about is security for me, for my family, for, you know, creation of generational wealth. And I don't know a lot of people that without being market makers can do it inside of a 401k or a retirement plan that's sitting on Wall Street. So, I mean, you and I are very similar in the sense that we like to control what we can control. And mm-hmm. Once you start taking your control of your finances, things can really change. I mean, you know, you have the opportunity to be a millionaire in America the same way that you and I had the opportunity. Like, there's nothing special about us other than education and action. And I think that the more people that understand that will go after it. I mean, I know that the listeners to this show are listening because, you know, it's not some pie in the sky. Let's listen to a bunch of millionaires talk about stuff. It's what's the tangible, actionable way to do that? And that's all the people that we're talking to. So when people want to get involved in real estate, I mean, look, I was in, you said before, it's the timing is different for everybody. Well, the timing was different for us because you took the shortcut and jumped into a mastermind first. And it took me 5.5 years to join the same mastermind. But within the same period of time, arguably, I mean, we were like 6 months behind you, I think. And, you know, we were growing right behind you, almost like we were tied to a train. So the timing certainly is different for everybody, but I think it's based on action. When people want to get into real estate, you know, I always direct them your way. Where can people find you and the mastermind and some of the training? I know you have different levels of it now, which was not available when we started, but everybody from listening to Bill's podcast to jumping on the websites and just getting some little bits of information. I mean, there's a ton of free content out there too, but where can people go to start taking some action on a residential business?
Yeah, I think the best place is to go to the website. So sevenfigureflipping.com. And we have a lot of different things on there. We're putting on a lot of like downloadable things, some free resources, direct mail checklists, things that hopefully can help people get going. Like my goal is, I don't want to be an educational platform where we just charge people for information, right? So we have high level mastermind there. We have like a newer type mastermind that's a little bit more expensive, kind of like we usually talk about pay for speed, right? Like just blaze the trail and get in a group of people so you don't feel isolated together. And that one opens up every October at our event, Flip Hacking Live. And that's just a great event every year that we do in October. It's down in Orlando.
I'm not even in the residential space and I'm going to be there with my whole team, right? Because we have so many friends in the mastermind. A lot of our investors came from that mastermind. We all became wealthy together and started saying, oh, here's some different tips and tricks. I can invest with you and you can invest with me. And there's just a lot of camaraderie there. We've built amazing friendships there. So we're going to be down there in Orlando. What are the dates of that again?
It's October 15th, 16th, and 17th. I think that, you know, the interesting thing is people always ask me, like, we're primarily a wholesaling and house flipping, like residential wholesaling and house flipping organization. Like if you want to do commercial real estate, our mastermind is just not for you. It's not. Yeah. And I don't think you have to start as a wholesaler or flipper either. You can start right there if you need to. This is not like a game where you have to step up into different areas. So, but I will say that event, like Steven said, I think it's for anybody. Like, obviously you can go there and you can network, you can find other people who are doing what you want to do. You can find investors, you can talk shop, you can just, you know, rub elbows with other people who are serious about their financial and personal development. And the personal development side is really powerful. It's a lot of mindset. We bring in some motivational folks to speak. And Jocko, I think it's just understanding what's possible.
Yeah. I got to meet Jocko Willink. He was on your podcast. I mean, we got Walter Bond. So in terms of mindset, I mean, this is a great event to start shifting that and meeting other people that have already had that shift and really hear from, I mean, some of the most incredible speakers that can even be hired to come and speak, right? I mean, through you and our mastermind, we've really rubbed shoulders with incredible. I mean, we spent a whole day with Jocko. Like it was such an incredible day. And then he got up on stage and crushed it for you too. You probably have an idea of anything you want to leak on this about who's coming this year or.
No, it's funny because at 11 o'clock this morning, I had a call. So we planned for this event about 7.5 months ahead of time. So we're at about 6 months right now. We're just shy of 6 months now, actually. So we're putting together the program for those 3 days. The one thing that I'll say is with everything that's going on with the coronavirus and all that stuff, I just am not exactly sure where the real estate community is going to be then. And so we will be planning that event up to like a week before to make sure it's current content. It's not like we're putting together presentations right now for what we're going to talk about 6 months from now. Sure. But I have a couple people that I'm talking to right now to hire to bring to the event. I'm not exactly sure where we'll go with it. So I'm not ready to like announce a name or anything, but these 3 days are just action packed. We will have some good names there and motivational folks, but primarily it's, we really spend time on like real people, like people that you can relate to that are just like you. There's nothing special about them, but they're just, we like to say like ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So you can see that it's possible for you to do it too. If I spent 3 days paying people a bunch of money to go up there and you can't relate to them, a lot of people have trouble relating to me when we're doing 200 deals and I have a team of 15 and they're just getting started. What they need to realize is it wasn't that long ago I was in the exact same seat as them. So, and I don't forget how hard it was, but sometimes we forget the details. That's why we bring up the people who are doing the details. And each presentation is really sharing kind of like a system or a process or something that's working for them right now, that when you leave there, you can, soup to nuts, you have it. We're not holding things back and selling it to you after. It's not a high pressure sales type environment. It's really more for networking, and you should be able to make 100 times your ticket cost, hopefully, just by leaving there. And then if it's right for you to join the mastermind group or come into one of the programs, then fine. But I'm not up there banging the drum that you have to pay us a bunch of money. So my goal is that everybody that walks through that door leaves with a smile on their face saying, this is 10 times more valuable than what I paid. Because I realize there's a flight and there's a hotel and there's a lot of other stuff that's involved and putting your life on pause for a few days. But I think like this October, we're probably in a point where it's almost perfect timing. We're like the carrot's dangling. Give yourselves like, buy a ticket, give yourself something to look forward to, something to when you come out of the house. Everybody's saying like, what are you going to do when you can leave your house and you can do things and you can get in a room with a bunch of people? Like, go better yourself and build your personal and professional development.
Yeah, I know. I'm itching a Kool-Aid guy through the front door, so I'm ready to get out. I'm going to be ready for October for sure. And yeah, so it's such an incredible event, and we have a lot of friends that get up there and speak about kind of the tangible aspects of things. You have financial people talking about different ways to run your finances. So it's not, you're right, it's not a one size, it's not a hyper focused on this is all you can do. If you're going to go to one of your events for seven figure, this is the one to get to. And what's pretty cool is we're going to get to sneak away while we're down there and check in on the 3 storage facilities that we have. So I think I might get like one of those cool buses and kind of bus us around a little bit and go see everything.
Yeah, I'm excited to do that. And that's the other great part. Yeah, you mentioned the write-off. It's great. It's right by Disney and we love to go to Disney. So we fly down there. There's a perfect reason to pop down to Davenport, Florida and check some things out and make sure things are good, set up some meetings and get a little bit of a tax write-off. If Flip Hacking Live wasn't already a massive tax write-off for me, then it would be perfect. Right?
Oh yeah, that's right. So that's true. But for us, it will be. So cool. Well, Bill, look, I always... pleasure talking to you, man. I really appreciate everything that you're doing for that community, what you've done for us. You know, I always jokingly say, but it's always with a half a smile on my face, that, you know, you really helped us become millionaires from the time that we met you till now. All the different tax strategies and all these different things that you do. You're the analytical type. I'm not, right? So I love getting together with you because you've done a year's worth of research and you just blow my brain up and then I go do whatever you tell me to do. So always appreciate you doing the research.
You know, it's interesting because the sentiment, it goes both ways, right? Because now like we've gotten to a point where we've gotten to know each other. You've executed a lot of the strategies that we talked about. You guys changed your strategy a little bit and made a shift. And now I'm benefiting from it by investing in your deals and being a part of that too. So it's like, if I helped you become a millionaire, that you're helping me maintain my millionaire status, right?
That's right.
And continue to grow my personal financial statement, because I've invested in quite a few of the deals. We've helped raise some money and stuff like that. And it's a phenomenal relationship. That's what it's about, guys. If you're listening to this and you're worried about how you're going to get there, you don't get there. There's no self-made millionaire. Nobody is just making their own money on their own. And there's other people that are involved. And the earlier you can realize that, the better. Like the more people that you can help, the more that's going to come back to you, and you'll reap what you sow. So what is it? Put it out in slices. It comes back in loaves. Like, you got to think that way. That's the key here. And obviously you can see the relationship that we have and what we've done for each other, and the amount of respect and gratefulness that we have towards each other is really, really high. So I wouldn't be where I am without you and Travis too. So you guys are just awesome.
Well, let's leave it there. It's a team sport to get free from Wall Street and get to that millionaire status. And Bill, we appreciate you taking the time to spend with us today, man. Say hello to the family for us.
I will. See you, Steven. Bye.
All right. See ya.
Thank you for listening. Like what you hear? Be sure to subscribe and head over to freefromwallstreet.com and sign up for our free guides to help you and your family invest with purpose.